Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Tonight on Open House, we have a conversation that I think we have to have about Australia's troubled and growing problem with the grog. You would surely know that we don't do it out of any sense of high and mighty wowserism. There are many, many people close to this problem right across a range of roles in our community. Doctors, nurses, police, family counsellors, raising a huge red flag over this problem that's getting worse and worse, the problem with the grog. Here's just one snapshot of the statistics. In the past decade, we've seen 500,000 hospitalisations, 250,000 assaults, and 12,000 deaths as a result of alcohol abuse. Some hospitals in the centre of our cities report that nearly 50% of admissions are alcohol and drug-related. More than 95% of assaults in some emergency departments are also alcohol-related. We're kicking off what I hope will be a significant open house conversation tonight, and we'd be very keen for you to join us if you have your own story with alcohol on 1300 40 2020, maybe as a victim, maybe as a damaged or troubled bystander. Has it been a problem for you? Has it been an issue in your family, in your friendships, in your work environment, or after hours? Do you feel the pressure of being part of the crowd for whom binge drinking is the norm these days? I'd be especially keen to hear from you if you've got on top of the grog. How did that happen? What worked for you? You may have got on top of it only to get sucked back into that spiral of alcohol abuse. As I said, I think this is a very important conversation for us to have. To get us thinking, I want to kick it off with Mike Daube, who's from the McCusker Centre for Action on Alcohol and Youth. He's backing a British report suggesting a complete ban on alcohol advertising and sponsorship. The policy, he says, is about seriously reducing the harms of alcohol rather than just tolerating the levels of problem we now have. Mike Daube, welcome to Open House.
Thank you, Lee.
Thanks very much for joining us. There are no two ways about it. This is a huge problem in our community, alcohol abuse. Mike, how do you rate its seriousness?
Look, it is simply one of the most serious problems we face as a community. You've talked rightly about the health consequences, and that's the direction that I started out from. But of course, there are far greater problems even than that. Law enforcement, over 70% of our police operational budget goes to dealing with alcohol. All the consequences around crime, violence, domestic violence, children in families disrupted by alcohol, innocent bystanders. So it is a massive health, social, and community problem. And I'm not a believer in saying necessarily problem X is worse than problem Y. If you compare alcohol with tobacco, tobacco kills more people. Alcohol causes far more social problems. They're both huge problems. But where I would place alcohol is at the top of the list of problems our society does not deal with and that our politicians back off from dealing with. So it is a massive social and health problem, and it is quite simply the problem the politicians don't want to deal with. That's why it continues so much.
Just to make this clear right at the outset, are you anti-alcohol?
Absolutely not. This evening I'll have a small glass of malt whiskey. I'm certainly not against alcohol. I think that there is a myth around that people who are concerned about alcohol problems are anti-alcohol. Very different. It's a bit like saying that the argument that if you're against road crashes, you must be anti-car. We're not. But what we are about is drawing to the attention of the community the huge problems caused by alcohol, trying to get something done about this. 80% of the alcohol consumed by young people aged between 14 and 24 is consumed at levels that put them or others at immediate risk. And then you've got all the long-term consequences, all the evidence about alcohol and the developing brain and so on. You see 30% of our road deaths, alcohol is implicated. Wherever you look, There are problems because people are drinking alcohol in the wrong way, in the wrong quantities, and at the wrong time. So absolutely not against alcohol, but absolutely against inappropriate drinking and the harm it causes.
It's undoubtedly a problem that's getting worse. Two questions. Since when and why do you say it's getting worse?
Well, it's getting worse in a strange way, Lee. It's not necessarily that more alcohol is being consumed. And in fact, with young people, slightly fewer young people are drinking. But what's happening is that those who drink are drinking more, and they're drinking more riskily. They're drinking in ways that put them and others at harm. And there's always been a problem with alcohol. You know, people have, not that I was around at the time, but the first recorded episode of alcohol problems I'm aware of was when Noah got drunk, and that was, you know, quite some while ago.
Yes.
And your Old Testament reader listeners will be aware of that. Yes. So alcohol's not a new problem. But what has been developing in the last decade or two has been a culture of binge drinking. It's been a culture where young people have more access than ever before, where products are being, in my view, designed, packaged, and promoted for the youthful palate. Even in France now, they talk about le binge, the new term that's in the language. So that sort of binge drinking culture has crept up on us over the last 20 years or so, and that is getting worse. The harms are getting worse at the same time as we're seeing more and more promotion for the product.
So why? Is it advertising? Is it peer pressure? Or are there other factors that have brought about this specific problem of binge drinking?
It's a combination of factors, Lee, and all my career in public health tells me that, you know, there's never one single answer, there's never one magic bullet either. But first of all, we do have a more affluent community. We have products that, we have drinking patterns. People aren't just drinking beer and certain types of wine. They're drinking a whole range of products, including spirits. We have young people, as I said, with more access. And some forms of alcohol are very, very cheap. And simply young people have more freedom than they had before. And that's why, you know, in New South Wales alone, in Sydney, every day for, this is the tip of the iceberg only, but every day, four people under the age of 18 are so blind drunk that somebody calls an ambulance, and some of those are as young as 12. Now, that's something that sort of crept up on us over the last 10 or 20 years, and suddenly here we are, binge drinking culture, range of factors. But the irony, too, is while there's no magic bullet, we actually know what we could do about it. This is a product that is now being massively promoted, and there's access almost everywhere. It's not just going down to the pub and having a drink. There are bottle shops. There are kids preloading, in other words, you know, getting drunk before they go out even, because they can get alcohol, you know, spirits cheaply and that kind of thing. It's a whole combination of factors, but we actually know what to do if only we had the courage to do it as a society. But what we tend to hear from politicians about alcohol is a fair amount of lip service, and then we see some very, very soft action. So, just to take two examples, we have an alcohol tax system that favors cheap alcohol, that every health and law enforcement report, even the Henry Tax Review, said it was just a crazy tax system. They don't change that. They don't put any curbs on alcohol promotion. They have all the evidence in the world about the measures that would actually, the combination of measures that would reduce alcohol problems. Why don't they do it? First of all, I think that they worry about votes, and some of the measures might not be popular in the short term, they think. But we've done surveys, in fact, showing that there is now so much community concern that the public do want those measures. The drinks industry is enormously powerful, Lee. No getting away from it. This is an immensely powerful industry. You have big global companies promoting alcohol heavily, and you have all the retail outlets, whether that be the hotels or the bottle shops. You have the big conglomerates that own the bottle shops, so Coles, Woolworths, and so on. So you've got an enormously powerful industry that lobbies like crazy against anything that will reduce its sales.
Knowing that pressure and knowing the politicians, I'd put it to you, sadly, that a complete ban on alcohol advertising is probably never going to happen.
I might have agreed with you, you know, a while ago. I've been involved in work on tobacco leave for about 40 years. And when I started working on tobacco in 1973, I would have said the same thing about tobacco. I think I would have said the same thing even about 10 years later. But now in this country, we've had a complete ban on tobacco advertising for more than 20 years. We even have plain packaging of cigarettes, which nobody's suggesting, for alcohol. So I think in some ways, you know, the need for action on alcohol, although tobacco kills more people, the need for action on alcohol is often more obvious. Parents are more worried about their kids drinking. You have too much to drink, you notice it immediately. So my sense is that we will, now that there are groups really starting to press for action, the Australian Medical Association, there's a National Alliance for Action on Alcohol, which has about 80 member organizations, all the health, medical, law enforcement groups, I think we are going to see action on alcohol happening over the next few years, and I think it'll take less time than it did on tobacco. And another reason for that is one that you started off on. With tobacco, it's actually black and white. We want to see the end of smoking. That's not the case with alcohol. We're not arguing for an end to all alcohol. We're not saying don't drink. We're just saying do so sensibly. And for heaven's sake, let's have an end to this tsunami of alcohol promotion that our young children are being exposed to. So I think we can see movement, even if it will take some time.
You mentioned parents, and I know you speak to a lot of parents at your centre. Give us a couple of snapshots of the kinds of things they say to you, and also some of the stories that you see there as it applies to young people.
Okay, well, first of all, let me just give you a bit of a sense of the worry about people who feel they can't do anything. The grandmother who phones me up and says that, actually I won't mention the name of the store, but says that there are plans to build a huge liquor outlet, sales outlet, next to a youth centre in her suburb. What can she do about it? You know, that kind of concern. You get parents phoning saying, my 14, 15, 16-year-old is going out drinking. They're preloading. Is there anything I can do about it? You have parents phoning saying they know their kids are going out getting drunk. What can they do? So you get a lot of really worried parents who phone in, who want help, who want advice. And all too often the stories are very much the same. And in my experience, Lee, what a lot of them want is, you know, I can't solve their problems for them. I can't do it for them.
I was going to say, what do you say to them?
Well, what a lot of them want, I think, are looking for, is encouragement to take a fairly firm line. There's a bit of an air of resignation about some of them, saying, you know, this is the way the world's going, there's nothing I can do about it, is there? Well, I can't tell them exactly what to do at 10 o'clock on a Friday night. That varies and so on. But what I can say to them is that you need to keep talking to your kids. You need to keep those lines of communication open. You need to make sure that you're providing a decent exemplar role. You need to show them that you don't approve of drinking in the way that they're doing. And you need to be pretty tough in your own attitudes to their drinking. If they think that you tolerate it and you don't mind, then that's pretty much carte blanche for them.
So what are some of the stories and what are some of the experiences that you've seen and heard in your role?
Stories about kids who are going out, getting drunk and having some awful experiences. Girls who have unwanted sexual experiences, and you know, they may have said yes at the time, but gee, they're unwanted sexual experiences. Stories about kids who've been out at parties and who've had fights and have been the victims of violence. Stories, sadly, from parents and young people of kids. I remember talking to a young man who was at a party. This was in regional Western Australia. He went to a party. He did all the right things. He took a taxi to the party. Wasn't driving. Then when he left the party, he was sort of encouraged to go in a car with somebody who'd been drinking, and the driver of that car clearly had been drinking far too much, smashed the car into the tree. The driver escaped without injury. The young man's a quadriplegic. And that was a young man who'd, in a sense, done nothing wrong.
Yes.
He was the innocent victim. So you get the stories ranging from sad and worrying social consequences to, you know, just about the most dramatic harm that you can imagine.
Mike, if you're able to speak into the lives of people listening tonight, and not only young people, but people well into their adulthood, who believe that the biggest price I'm going to pay is a hangover in the morning and no memory of what happened last night, what would you say to them?
Lee, something that I find so hard is that there are people who, young people especially, think they're immortal, and they think it isn't going to happen to them. Mm. But the same applies also to some of the older people.
Yes.
Who think that, you know, they can go to a restaurant and drink a bottle and they'll be fine, and they can drive home down the side streets and it won't happen to them. Well, what I would be saying to those people is there is a very strong chance that it will happen to you, or it will happen to somebody whose life you harm irreparably. There are tens of thousands of people in this country who've suffered hugely because of alcohol, whose lives will never be the same. There are people who are killed on the roads, and either they were drunk, or the drunk driver will never, ever forget that they've been responsible for those deaths. So I would be saying to those people, this is not a sport. This is not gambling. The evidence is absolutely crystal clear. You drink too much. You put yourself at great risk. You put others at great risk. It just isn't worth it.
And there are the insidious impacts of this further down the track, maybe decades ahead.
Indeed, there are. I was talking about the difference between alcohol and tobacco. And, of course, with tobacco, if you smoke, then the consequences occur over time rather than immediately. With alcohol, it's both. With alcohol, there are the immediate consequences: crime, violence, drink driving, domestic violence, for heaven's sake, children suffering because their parents are drinking, all of that. But there are also the long-term consequences, and those long-term consequences can be seen in things like liver disease. They can be seen in a whole range. Did you know, for example, that alcohol is now seen as the cause, an authoritative statement by the Cancer Council Australia, of around 5% of all cancers in Australia? And so a whole lot of longer-term consequences. But for younger people, the risk of brain damage, the brain, the developing brain, is a very, very delicate instrument. And there is now just very clear evidence that alcohol does harm the developing brain. And it's not sort of necessarily the sort of harm, as one of my colleagues puts it, Lee, it's not the sort of harm that would turn you from a Nobel Prize winner right to the bottom of the list. Mm. But it's a sort of harm over time that maybe, you know, takes you from a B+ to a B-. It really does harm the developing brain, and the brain is developing through to the early 20s. Now, young people may not like to hear that, but if you are concerned that you want to be everything you can be, you want to make the fullest use of all the intellectual equipment that God gave you, then binge drinking is going to do you, can well do you some real harm.
And finally, your advice to any young person listening tonight, or their parents, who recognise that there is a real problem here. What do they do? What do you say to them about what they can do about this?
I think I'd give them four pieces of advice. Am I allowed four pieces of advice, Lee?
Yes, absolutely.
The first piece of advice is that if you are worried, there are places where you can go, and each state has an alcohol and drug information service. There are phone lines. There are general practitioners. There are people to whom you can go. Don't be frightened to go and ask for help, because they're trained to help you. Whether you're a parent or a young person, whoever it is, there are people who will listen to you, who will talk to you, and it is just worth talking the issue through with them. That's the first point. Second piece of advice is that this isn't about going from drinking a lot to drinking nothing necessarily. You don't have to do it incredibly dramatically, but it's to watch what you drink, and it's to recognize that the advice on how much it's reasonable to drink isn't given because we're wowsers and we're killjoys. It's given because that's what the science tells us, and you actually can enjoy yourself without writing yourself off. Third piece of advice is for parents. All the evidence shows that kids do listen to parents. They look up to parents. And parents can, over time, with their attitudes, with conversations with kids, they can have a real difference. So don't give up. Keep at it. And the fourth piece of advice is, if you're worried about alcohol problems, talk to your politicians. Put pressure on them. Politicians are being pressured by all kinds of other interests.
Yes.
People who want to sell the product, advertise it, and so on. Talk to your politicians. Ask them why they aren't supporting action on price, on alcohol advertising, on decent warnings, why so little money goes into public education about alcohol, why across this nation alcohol and drug education and health education are not mandatory subjects for kids in schools. Ask them why that politicians aren't taking action on licensing hours that would have some impact. So if you really want to see some action, there are things you can do as an individual, in your own family, in your own community, but also put some pressure on the politicians, because ultimately that's what's going to see the changes come about.
You've given us some great advice and great insights tonight. Mike Daube, I'm so grateful that you joined us on Open House. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lee.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.